So in case you haven't been keeping up with our classes, I'll just give you a review. We're hovering around Canto 10, Chapter 12, Text Number 11. And it's a very important verse, and so there's a lot of commentary on this very important verse, and this evening we'll be able to complete the whole section. It's Krishna's in Vrindavan. Chapter 11 is he moves to Vrindavan from Gokul and does a number of nice things with cowherd boys. And then Chapter 12 opens with it's the story of killing of Agasura, and but that comes later. The beginning part is the cowherd boys going out to play with the calves. And do you remember? Yeah, I'm sure you remember. How many cowherd boys are there? Remember the discussion? How many calves? Remember the discussion? Asankhyataha. Remember that discussion? Maybe it was elsewhere. Asankhyataha means it's too many to count. And then our acharyas give the breakdown. Anyways, there's too many to count calves. Something like 10 million cowherd boys. Ooh. So it's a big herd of calves. So they're playing. So the beginning of the chapter is they leave, and then there's four or five verses that describe what they do together, and they're doing children's activities together, little boy activities. And really amazing ways of playing. And then this verse comes. It starts, itam satam sukha, brahma sukha. So go to the verse. Itam satam brahma sukhanu brutya. That the last line is krita punya punja. We'll say it together. Comes a few times this evening. And just in summary, because it covers this in different ways, but there's way up here is the cowherd boys. Then there's three other categories that are described. The jnanis that are realizing Krishna as Brahmasukha, the happiness of Brahman realization. That's the extent of their ability to understand the same object or personality as Krishna. It's just Brahmasukha, Brahman effulgence. There's devotees, Dasya Bhav, worshippers of servants of Bhagavan, and they have their realization, and those persons who have taken shelter of Maya, they have a different realization. They see him as an ordinary child, and so he who is the supreme realization for these different categories of people, the cowherd boys are very, very special. They have the opportunity just to be with him all day long, playing with the personality of Godhead. So that's the focus, and we're going to read just a few commentaries. This one happened, the first one, happens to be a commentary on Bhagavad Gita from chapter 11, And chapter 11 is the universal form chapter. And the verse and the purport of Bhagavad Gita, chapter 11, text number 8, Krishna says, "You cannot see me with your present eyes, therefore I give you divine eyes, behold my mystic opulence." And reference to this same verses in the purport. A pure devotee does not see Krishna in any form except his form with two hands. A devotee must see his universal form by his grace, not with the mind, but with spiritual eyes. To see the universal form of Krishna, Arjuna is told not to change his mind, but his vision. The universal form of Krishna is not very important, semicolon. That will be clear in subsequent verses. Yet, because Arjuna wanted to see it, the Lord gives him the particular vision required to see that universal form. Paragraph. Devotees who are correctly situated in a transcendental relationship with Krishna are attracted by loving features, not a godless display of opulences. The playmates of Krishna, the friends of Krishna, and the parents of Krishna never want Krishna to show his opulences. They are so immersed in pure love that they do not even know that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In their loving exchange, they forget that Krishna is the Supreme Lord. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is stated that the boys who play with Krishna are all highly pious souls, and after many, many births, they are able to play with Krishna. Such boys do not know that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They take him as a personal friend. Therefore, Shukadeva Goswami recites this verse. So this is the 10, 12, 11 verse, if you like finding these things on your handheld device. 10, 12, 11. Itam satam brahma sukhanu vrutya dasyam katanam paradaivatena mayashatanam naradarakena sakam prajru krita punya punja punja. Translation. Here is the Supreme Person who is considered, this is Sukadeva, who is considered the impersonal Brahman by great sages, the Supreme Personality of Godhead by devotees, a product of material nature by ordinary men. Now, these boys who have performed many, many pious activities in their past lives are playing with that Supreme Personality of Godhead. The fact is that the devotee is not concerned with seeing the Vishwarupa, the universal form, but Arjuna wanted to see it to substantiate Krishna's statements so that was statements in chapter 10. You know, he's the supreme source of everything. To substantiate Krishna's statements so that in the future, people could understand that Krishna not only theoretically or philosophically presented himself as the Supreme, but actually presented himself as such to Arjuna. Arjuna must confirm this because Arjuna is the beginning of the Parampara system. Those who are actually interested in understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna and who follow in the footsteps of Arjuna should understand that Krishna not only theoretically presented himself as the Supreme, but actually revealed himself as the Supreme. The Lord gave Arjuna the necessary power to see his universal form because he knew that Arjuna did not particularly want to see it, as we have already explained. Now, this same verse is being going to be referenced in multiple other places. There's two of them that are in chapter 8. In chapter 8 is Krishna showing the universal form of the universe within his mouth to Mother Jasoda. It's the eating dirt pastime. So this is reference to our etam satam brahma sukhana britya. That verse is being referred to in this purport. That's why we're reading it. Krishna said to his mother, "My dear mother, I've never eaten dirt. All my friends complaining against me are liars. If you think they're being truthful, you can directly look into my mouth and examine it." And purport, Krishna presented himself as an innocent child to increase the transcendental ecstasy of maternal affection. As described in the Shastra, tadana banyan mityuktur vatsalya rasa prokshika. This means that sometimes a small child speaks lies. For example, he may have stolen something or eaten something and yet denied that he has done so. We ordinarily see this in the material world, but in relation to Krishna, it is different. Semicolon. Such activities are meant to endow the devotee, Mother Jasoda, with transcendental ecstasy. The Supreme Personality of Godhead was playing as a liar and accusing all the other devotees of being liars. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 10.12.11, Krita Punya Punja. A devotee may attain such an ecstatic position after many, many births of devotional service. Persons who have amassed the results of a vast amount of pious activities can attain the stage of associating with Krishna and playing with him like ordinary playmates. One should not consider these transactions of devotional service to be untruthful accusations. One should never accuse such devotees of being ordinary boys speaking lies, for they attained this stage of associating with Krishna by great austerities. Tapasya brahmacharjina samena cha damena cha. Referencing 6th canto. So now, that was chapter 8. We're going to get two references from chapter 13. And what's chapter 13? It's the pastime involved with the Brahma Vimohan Leela. Okay? So this is the purport for text 8, chapter 13. To a pure devotee, Krishna is always visible. As stated in the Brahma Samhita, Santaksa Daiva Hridayeshu Vilokayanti, and as indicated by Krishna himself in the Bhagavad Gita, Sarvatak Pani Padam Tat Sarvatokshi Shiromukham. If, by accumulating pious activities, Krita Punya Punja, one can be raised to the platform of devotional service, Krishna is always visible in the core of one's heart. One who has attained such perfection is all beautiful in transcendental bliss. The present Krishna consciousness movement is an attempt to keep Krishna at the center. For if this is done, all activities will automatically become beautiful and blissful. And again, reading these because this celebrated verse is being referenced. Later in the chapter, it's describing the vision of Brahma. There's the cowherd boys, and each of the cowherd boys manifesting forms of Narayan. then it's describing the forms of Narayan. Every part of their bodies, from their feet up to the top of their heads, was fully decorated with fresh, tender garlands of tulsi leaves offered by devotees engaged in worshiping the Lord by the greatest pious activities, namely hearing and chanting. Purport. The word buddhi, punyavad, arpitaha is significant in this verse. These forms of Vishnu were worshipped by those who had performed pious activities, sukritibhihi, for many births, and who were constantly engaged in devotional service. Bhakti, devotional service, is the engagement of those who have performed highly developed pious activities. The accumulation of pious activities has already been narrated elsewhere in the Bhagavatam. Guess where? 10, 12, 11. Where Shukadeva Goswami says, he doesn't give the Sanskrit, those who are engaged in self-realization, this is the translation, this is the Satam, the Yajnis, those who are engaged in self-realization, appreciating the Brahman effulgence of the Lord, and those engaged in devotional service, accepting the Supreme Personality of Godhead as Master, Dasya, as well as those who are under the clutches of Maya, thinking the Lord an ordinary person, cannot understand that certain exalted personalities, after accumulating volumes of pious activities, are now playing with the Lord in friendship as cowherd boys. Prabhupada's concluding paragraph. In our Krishna Balaram temple in Vrindavan, there is a tamal tree that covers an entire corner of the courtyard. Before there was a temple, the tree was lying neglected. But now, it has developed very luxuriantly, covering the whole corner of the courtyard. This is the sign of buddhi, punya. It's just sitting there, but it's hearing the kirtan, the sound vibration, and accumulating buddhi, punya. And then later in the same chapter, seeing everything that he saw, Brahma fell unconscious. And then, text 58 from chapter 13, Lord Brahma's external consciousness then revived, and he stood up, just like a dead man coming back to life. Opening his eyes with great difficulty, he saw the universe, along with himself. And purport, we actually do not die. At death, we are merely kept inert for some time, just like during sleep. At night, we sleep, and all our activities stop. But as soon as we arise, our memory immediately returns, and we think, oh, where am I? What do I have to do? This is called suptotita nyaya. Suppose we die. Die, unquote unquote, means that we become inert for some time and then again begin our activities. This takes place life after life according to our karma or activities and svabhava or nature by association. Now, in the human life, if we prepare ourselves by beginning the activity of our spiritual life, we return to our real life and attain perfection. Otherwise, according to karma, svabhava, prakriti, and so on, our varieties of life and activities continue. And so, also do our birth and death. As explained by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, mayara vashe yache beshe kache habudububai kacha habudububai. My dear brothers, translation, my dear brothers, Why are you being washed away with the waves of Maya? Paragraph. One should come to the spiritual platform, and then one's activities will be permanent. Kṛta Puṇya Puṇja. This stage is attained after one accumulates the results of pious activities for many, many lives. Janma koti sukṛtāya na labhyate. The Krishna consciousness movement wants to stop koti janma, repeated birth and death. In one birth, one should rectify everything and come to permanent life. That was pretty easy. This is Krishna consciousness. So that janma koti sukṛtāya na labhyate is from Madhya Lila chapter 8, text 70, and this verse, same verse we just, Kṛta Puṇya Puṇja, is referred to in six verses later. So this is a translation. This is Chaitanya Charitamrita's translation of this verse from chapter 12. Neither those engaged in self-realization of appreciating the Brahman effulgence of the Lord, nor those engaged in devotional service while accepting the Supreme Personality of Godhead as Master, nor those under the clutches of Maya thinking the Lord an ordinary person, can understand that certain exalted personalities, after accumulating volumes of pious activities, are now playing with the Lord in friendship as cowherd boys. And that's Chaitanya Charitamrita, Prabhupada's purport. This is a statement made by Shukadeva Goswami, 10.12.11, who appreciated the good fortune of the cowherd boys who played with Krishna and ate with him on the banks of the Yamuna. And then it's referenced again in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, or Nectar of Devotion, speaking about categories of friends with Krishna. I'll just read. This is Krishna's friend speaking to him after he's been lifting the Govardhan Hill for 7 days. They say, "You have spent 7 nights standing constantly without sleep holding up Govardhan? You must be very tired." "Oh, my friend, Krishna, throw the mountain into Sridham's hand. Our minds are very disturbed seeing you in this condition. At least place the mountain in your right hand, then we'll be able to massage your left hand." A verse from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Jiva Goswami comments, "These are the cowherd boyfriends speaking to Krishna. On seeing the display of the Lord's powers, they become instead absorbed in considerations mentioned in this verse. This verse indicates sammatva bhavena maya sneha, or affection, sneha, generated by the thought of the Lord as an equal." So that's a certain kind of friendship. Then there's another kind of friendship. The friendship of playing together. That's then comes our verse, you know, yatam satam brahmasukhan abhrutya verse. Here is the Supreme Person who is considered the impersonal Brahman by great sages, a most worshipable form by the dasya bhaktas, and the son of a human being by ordinary men. Now these boys who perform many, many pleasing activities in their past lives are playing with the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the form of a cowherd boy. And there's a long commentary. Jiva Goswami explains the verse. Satam means, quote, of those who have realized the highest form of existence, or by proximity to the word Brahma, the word Sat describes Brahman. Thus, Satam indicates those who have realized Brahman. In either case, Satam refers to the Jnanis. And in the verse, the word is there, the first line, Anubhuti. So, Itam Satanam Brahma Sukha Anubhuti. Anubhuti means a self-revealing object, such as perception or consciousness, as opposed to dull matter. This consciousness itself is happiness, since it is the shelter of an attributeless prema, prema without qualities. Brahman. Produced through realization of Atma. That consciousness is also called Brahman, meaning the greatest, since it is the ultimate essence of everything. This is the explanation of the phrase Brahma, Sukhanubhuti. Sukhanubhuti. Jnanis realize the Lord as a self-revealing object, which is happiness, and is called Brahman, the greatest. Brahma, Sukhanubhutya. So then the next line. Those who possess dasya bhakti, dasyam gatanam, they realize the Lord as a form, which is supremely worshipable, para, daivatena, filled with all powers. The Lord is realized in this form in order that people see his greatness. To show that both these types of realization are very rare, the verse then says that those who have fallen under the control of material illusion, mayashritanam, see the Lord only as a human child because they lack both jnana and bhakti. The brahmanas failed to recognize, this is the pastime of the coward boys going to the brahmanas for something to eat. The brahmanas, this is the translation of a verse from that chapter 23. The brahmanas failed to recognize that he is the supreme absolute truth, the directly manifest personality of Godhead whom the material senses cannot ordinarily perceive. Thus, bewildered by their false identification with the mortal body, they did not show him proper respect. Then, paragraph, but the cowherd boys played with the Lord. Sa dridham. He awarded them his association, being controlled by his own prema for them. Though he appeared in a human form, that form surpassed in sweetness the sweetness of all other forms. The Goward boys played with that form of the Lord. Therefore, these boys must have done piles of pious actions in previous lives. This is the meaning from the common material point of view, but actually they performed piles of pleasing punya actions which caused the highest mercy of the Lord. Amarakosh Dictionary says, punyas tu charu. Punya means pleasing. If one is particularly inquisitive, one can consult Vaishnava Toshini commentary on this verse. Vaishnava Toshini is Jiva Goswami's commentary just on the 10th canto. So Jiva Goswami is making a commentary on these two different types of friends. And if you want to know more about it, you can go there, he says. And I think we're almost done. This is another reference. Rupa Goswami from Nectar of Devotion, or Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. In the state of devotional happiness, the person who is perceiving, the person perceived the varied perceptions and the sensory functions that serve in those perceptions, all manifest themselves in various ways. It's a little complicated, but that's Rupa Goswami's teaching. And here's commentary. The Bhakti Shastras have already proven that the bliss of devotional service to the Supreme Lord is much greater and more sublime than the shadow of happiness found in the meditation of self-contented impersonalists. Now the Shastras reconfirm this conclusion with yet another logical argument. In the bliss of devotional service, all components of personal experience are vividly manifest, namely, the devotee who is perceiving the joy of devotional service, the personality of Godhead who is the object of this perception, the particular exchanges involving the two of them, and the sensory activities that foster the perceptions. The devotee realizes, oh, I am the Lord's servant. And more specifically, he identifies himself with particular services, like massaging the Lord's lotus feet. The Lord, who engages the devotee's attention, displays many wonderful attractive characteristics of bodily beauty, charming behavior, and so on. The devotee's sensory functions manifest themselves variously through hearing, chanting, and other modes of service. All these contributors to the devotional experience display infinite varieties and sub-varieties. Thus, the happiness of pure devotion includes limitless variety. Semicolon. No other taste can equal it. Then he goes in a different direction. It is a poor argument to say that a devotee's awareness of himself and his own senses impedes his blissful awareness of the Lord's lotus feet. A pure devotee's self-awareness is an integral part of his awareness of the Lord. He sees himself not as a separate being, but as a person having an intimate relationship with the Lord. There is no natural law against simultaneously knowing the Supreme Lord in oneself, nor is self-awareness obscured by awareness of the Supreme. Consciousness of one's subordinate role as the Lord's servant is perfectly consistent with awareness of the Lord and his all attractive qualities. Almost done. If a person in God consciousness were oblivious of his own existence, he might as well no longer exist at all. Just as a jewel, one has completely forgotten, might as well not be on one's neck. Therefore, in describing self-realization, the authorized scriptures constantly use such words as anubhuti, namely perception, as in the Srimad Bhagavatam 10.12.11, itam satam brahmasukhanu bhutya, anubhuti, perception. Brahmasukha anubhuti. And that's it for the section. We're ready to move on to the next verse. I've spent maybe 10 days just on that. It's so important. So there's because it's so important. There are certain verses that are referenced again and again. Prabhupada, from just hearing his lectures, sometimes he would often just take that last phrase, Krita Punya Punja. With a kind of admiration for the good fortune of the Cowherd Boys. But when doing so, it doesn't mean that the Cowherd Boys, compared to all the other residents of Vrindavan, are more favored by Krishna or than any of the other residents of Vrindavan. In fact, tomorrow morning we're going to be reading some section where, no, it won't be tomorrow morning, where in Uddhava Gita, Krishna is describing the affection of the gopis. It's really, it's very ecstatic. But and he's speaking, he's perfectly aware, at least as he's speaking with Uddhava, he's perfectly aware of the happiness he's feeling and the happiness they're feeling. And the total dedication they have to him, and in that total dedication, his total dedication to them, and he's appreciating them. He's appreciating their love for him. He's appreciating, because this Uddhava Gita is spoken just before Krishna's departure. You know the sequence? Krishna's in Dwaraka, and he returns to Dwaraka after killing some demons, particularly after killing Shishupal and Dantavakra. And then Acharyas say, according to many references, particularly Padma Purana reference, Krishna goes to Vrindavan for 2 months. And when he's in Vrindavan for 2 months, he's still looking young. Although his age is 125 years, his body is looking like a 12-year-old. And then they make the references when Krishna was in Dwaraka and Pradyumna, his son, who was just 12 years old, entered, they thought it was Krishna. And so they became, you know, a little careful. And then they realized, no, it's not Krishna, it's Pradyumna. Because their age looked the same. Now, what 125-year-old looks like a 12-year-old. But Krishna, you know, his form is, he can appear however people have love for him. That's how he can appear. So he went to Vrindavan, spent 2 months. He engaged in rasa dance with the gopis to their heart's content. He describes to Uddhava that the nights spent with the gopis to them passed like a moment. And then the days when he wasn't with them, it was like a night of Brahma. But you know, when you're having fun, time goes quickly, and when it's like really awful, it takes forever. You know how that goes. So it's just the perception of passage of time for the gopis, a moment's association seemed like, you know, yugayitam nimeshena. We discussed it this morning. Nimesha, little detour, Nimesha is translated as a moment. And then in the third canto of Bhagavatam, it's very specific. It's 8/5 of a second. No, no, excuse me, 5/8 of a second. Slightly more than half a second. That's one nimesha. Like a blink. And three blinks makes the next one. Kshanta. No. Kshanik. Kshana. Pratikshana. Kshana. So, he went back, and after 2 months, he made arrangements for the Prakat Lila to end. And so the residents of Vrindavan eternally entered into their Prakat pastimes, Aprakat pastimes, unmanifest pastimes. And Krishna took the residents of Vrindavan back to Krishna Loka. And then an expansion of Krishna, or form of Krishna, went back to Dwarka to wind up his Dwarka pastimes. So he's in Dwarka, ready to wind up his Dwarka pastimes. And Uddhava, knowing Krishna as intimately as he knows Krishna, he knows Krishna is going to leave. And Krishna wants to pacify the heart of Uddhava. We just read it this morning. Really nice description. Vishwanath Chakravarti tells how Krishna's thinking. I did these pastimes, he lists all his pastimes. But one thing I didn't do is I didn't give my association to Narayan Rishi and his devotees in Badri.